Range combat. If it came to hand-to-hand combat in zero-G with hordes of Covenant troopers, even his luck wouldn't hold out too long. He had picked James because James had never quit. Even when his hand had been burned off, he had shrugged off the shock, at least for a while, and helped them dispatch the Covenant behemoths on Sigma Octanus IV. The Master Chief would need that kind of determination on this mission. He took a long look out the front of the Pelican. Their sister dropship initiated a burn and hurtled toward Reach. Kelly, Fred, Joshua, all of them. Part of him longed to join them in the ground action. The radar panel blinked a proximity warning. The Pelican was 1,000 kilometers from the docking ring. The Master Chief tapped the thrusters to align the dropship. He squelched the proximity alert. The alert immediately resounded. Strange. He reached for the squelch again, then stopped as he saw the space around the Pelican change. Motes of green light appeared, pinpoints at first, which swelled like bruises on velvet black space. The green smears lengthened, compressed, and distorted the stars. A slipstream entry point. The Master Chief cut the Pelican's engines, slowing them for impact. A Covenant frigate materialized a kilometer from the dropship's nose. Its prow filled their viewscreen. Chapter 35. 06:16 hours, August 30, 2542, military calendar. UNSC Pelican dropship, Epsilon Eridani system, near Reach Station Gamma.
"Brace for maneuvering!" the Master Chief barked.
The Spartans dove for safety harnesses and strapped in.
"All secure!"
Kelly shouted. The Master Chief killed the Pelican's forward thrusters and triggered a short, sudden reverse burn. The Spartans were brutally slammed forward into their harnesses as the Pelican's acceleration bled away. The Master Chief quickly shut down the engines. The tiny Pelican faced the Covenant frigate. At a kilometer's distance, the alien ship's launch bay and pulse laser turrets looked close enough to touch on the viewscreen. Enough firepower to vaporize the Spartans in the blink of an eye. The Master Chief's first instinct was to fire their HE Anvil II missiles and autocannons, but he checked his hand as he reached for the triggers. That would only attract their attention, which was the last thing he wanted. For the moment, the alien vessel ignored them, probably because the Master Chief had shut down the Pelican's engines. But the ship also seemed dead in space. No lights, no single ships launched, and no plasma weapons charging. The dropship continued toward the docking station, their momentum putting distance between them and the frigate. Space around the Covenant ship boiled and pulled apart, and two more alien ships appeared. They, too, ignored the dropship. Was it too small to bother with? The Master Chief didn't care. His luck, it seemed, was holding. He checked the radar. 30 kilometers to the docking ring. He ignited the engines to slow them down. He had to, or they would crash into the station. 20 kilometers. Rumbling shook the dropship. They slowed, but it wasn't going to be enough. 10 kilometers.
"Hang on!"
he told Linda and James. The sudden impact whiplashed the Master Chief back and forth in his seat. The straps holding him snapped. He blinked, saw only blackness. His vision cleared, and he noted that his shield bar was dead. It slowly began to fill again. Every display and monitor in the cockpit had shattered. The Master Chief shook off the disorientation and pulled himself aft. The interior of the dropship was a mess. Everything tied down had come loose. Ammunition boxes had broken open in the crash landing, and loose carriages filled the air. Coolant leaked, spraying blobs of black fluid. In zero gravity, everything looked like the inside of a shaken snow globe. James and Linda floated off the deck of the Pelican. They slowly moved.
"Any injuries?" the Master Chief asked.
"No," Linda replied.
"I think so," James said. "I mean, no, I'm good, sir. Was that a landing, or did those Covenant ships take a shot at us?"
"If they had, we wouldn't be here to talk about it.
Get whatever gear you can and get out double time, the Master Chief said. The Master Chief grabbed an assault rifle and a jackhammer launcher. He found a satchel. Inside was a kilogram of C-12, detonators, and a Lotus anti-tank mine. Those would come in handy. He salvaged 5 intact clips of ammunition, but couldn't locate his thruster pack. He'd have to do without one.
No more time, he said. We're sitting ducks here. Out the side hatch, now!
Linda went first. She paused and, once she was satisfied the Covenant weren't lying in ambush, motioned them forward. The Master Chief and James exited, clung to the side of the Pelican in zero gravity, and took flanking positions at the fore and aft ends of the dropship. Space Dock Gamma was a 3-kilometer diameter ring. Dull gray metal arced in either direction. On the surface were communications dishes and a few conduits. No real cover. The docking bay doors were sealed tight. The station wasn't spinning. The Dockmaster AI must have shut the place up tight when it detected the unsecured nav database. The Master Chief frowned when he spotted the tail end of their Pelican, crumpled and embedded into the station's hull. Its engines were ruined. The dropship jutted out at an angle. Its prow and the charges of C-12 that was supposed to have blasted them into a Covenant ship now pointed into the air. The Master Chief started to drift off the station. He clipped himself to the hull of the dropship.
Blue 2, he said. Police those explosives.
He gestured to the prow. The motion sent him gyrating.
Yes, sir.
James puffed his thruster pack once and drifted up to the nose of the Pelican. The Spartans had trained to fight in zero gravity. It wasn't easy. The slightest motion sent you spinning out of control. A flash overhead reflected off the hull. The Master Chief looked up. The Covenant ships were alive now. Lances of blue laser fire flashed, and motes of red light collected on their lateral lines. Their engines glowed, and they moved closer to the station. A streak crossed the Master Chief's field of vision in the blink of an eye. The center Covenant frigate shields strobed silver. The ship shattered into a cloud of glistening fragments. The orbital guns had turned and fired on the new threat. This was a suicide maneuver. How did the Covenant think they could withstand that kind of firepower?
Blue 1, the Master Chief said. Scan those ships with your scope.
Linda floated closer to the Master Chief. She pointed her sniper rifle up and sighted the ships.
We've got inbound targets, she said, and fired.
The Master Chief hit his magnification. A dozen pods burst from the 2 remaining Covenant ships. Trails of exhaust pointed right at the Spartans' position. There were tiny specks accompanying the pods. The Master Chief increased his display magnification to maximum. They looked like men in thruster packs. No, they were definitely not men. These things had elongated heads, and even at this distance, the Master Chief could see past their faceplates and noted their pronounced shark-like teeth and jaws. They wore armor. It shimmered as they collided with debris, which meant energy shields. These must be the elite warrior class Dr. Halsey had conjectured. The Covenant's best? They were about to find out. Linda shot one of the EVA aliens. Shield shimmered around its body, and the round bounced off. She didn't stop. She pumped 4 more rounds into the creature, hitting a pinpoint target in its neck. Its shields flickered, and a round got through. Black blood gushed from the wound, and the creature writhed in space. The other alien spotted them. They jetted toward the location, firing plasma rifle and needlers.
Take cover,
the Master Chief said. He unclipped himself and clung to the side of the dropship. Linda followed, bolts of fire spattering on the hull next to them, spattering molten metal. Crystalline needles bounced off their shields.
Blue 2, the Master Chief said. I said fall back!
James almost had the explosives rigged to the nose free. A shower of needles hit him. One struck the tank of his thruster harness, penetrated. It remained embedded for a split second, then exploded. Exhaust billowed from the pack. The uncontrolled jets spun James in the microgravity. He slammed into the station, bounced, then rocketed away into space, tumbling end over end,
unable to control his trajectory.
Blue 2, come in!
The Master Chief barked over the comm channel.
Can't... control...
James' voice was punctuated with static.
They're... everywhere!
There was more static, and the comm channel went dead. The Master Chief watched his teammate tumble away into the darkness. All his training, his superhuman strength, reflexes, and determination, completely useless against the laws of physics. He didn't even know if James was dead. For the moment, he had to assume that he was, put him out of his mind. He had a mission to complete. If he survived, then he'd get every UNSC ship in the area to mount a search and rescue op. Linda shrugged out of her thruster harness. The suppressing fire from the aliens halted. Covenant landing pods descended toward the station, touching down at roughly 300-meter intervals. A pod landed 20 meters away. Its sides uncurled like the petals of a flower. Jackals in black and blue vacuum suits drifted out. Their boots adhered to the station's hull.
"Let's pave a path out here, Blue One."
"Roger that," she said.
Linda targeted spots their energy shields didn't cover. Boots, the top of one's head, a fingertip. Three jackals went down in quick succession, their spacesuits ruptured by her marksmanship. The rest scrambled for cover inside the pod. The Master Chief braced his back against the dropship and fired his assault rifle in controlled bursts. The microgravity played havoc with his aim. One jackal leapt from his cover, straight towards them. The Master Chief switched to full auto and blasted his shield with enough rounds to send the alien flying backward off the station. He spent the clip, reloaded, and got out a grenade. He pulled the pin and lobbed it. He threw it in a flat trajectory. The grenade ricocheted off the far side of the pod and bounced inside. It detonated. A flash and spray of freeze-dried blue vented upward. The explosion had caught the enemy on their unshielded sides.
"Blue One, secure that landing pod. I'll cover you."
He leveled his rifle.
"Yes, sir."
Linda grabbed a pipe that ran alongside the station and pulled herself hand over hand. When she was inside the pod, she flashed him a green light on his heads-up display. The Master Chief crawled toward the prow of the Pelican. As he crested the ship, he saw that the station was swarming with Covenant troops. 100 jackals and at least 6 elites. They pointed toward the Pelican and slowly started to advance on their position.
"Come and get it," the Master Chief muttered.
He pulled 2 grenades from his satchel and wedged them into the C-12 on the nose of the ship. He pushed off and propelled himself back to his teammate. She grabbed him and pulled him into the interior of the open pod. Bits of a dozen dead jackals pasted the inside.
"You've got a new target," he told her. "A pair of frag grenades. Sight on them and wait for my order to fire."
She propped her rifle on the edge of the open pod and aimed. Jackals crawled over the Pelican. One of the elite warriors appeared as well, maneuvering in a harness, flying over the ship. The elite gestured imperiously, directing the jackals to search the ship.
"Fire,"
the Master Chief said. Linda fired once. The grenades detonated. The chain reaction set off the 20 kilograms of C-12. A subsonic fist slammed into the Master Chief and threw him to the far side of the landing pod. Even 20 meters away, the sides of the craft warped and the top edges sheared away. He looked over the edge. There was a crater where the Pelican had been. If anything had survived that blast, it was now in orbit.
"We have a way in," the Master Chief remarked.
Linda nodded. In the distance, where the station curved out of view, more Covenant pods landed, and the Master Chief saw the silhouettes of hundreds of jackals and elite fighters crawling and jetting their way closer.
"Let's go, Blue One."
They pulled themselves toward the hole. The detonation had blown through 5 decks, leaving a tunnel of ragged-edged metal and sputtering gas hoses. The Master Chief called up the station's blueprints on his display.
"That one," he said, and pointed 2 decks down. "B-level. That's where Bay 9 and the circumference should be.
300 meters to port. They climbed into the interior and into B-Deck's corridor. The station's emergency lights were on, filling the passage with dull red illumination. The Master Chief paused and signaled her to halt. He pulled out the Lotus anti-tank mine from his satchel and set it on the deck. He set the sensitivity to maximum and triggered its proximity detectors. Anything that tried to follow them would get a surprise. The Master Chief and Linda gripped the handrails along the corridor and pulled themselves up the curved hall. Flashes of automatic weapons fire flashed in the low light just ahead of their position. "Blue One," the Master Chief said. "Ahead, 10 meters. There's a pressure door open." They quickly took positions on either side of the door. He sent his optical probe around the corner. The docking bay had a dozen ship berths on two levels. The Master Chief spotted a few battered Pelicans, a service station bot, and in berth 11, a sleek private craft held in place by massive service clamps. Where the ship's name should have been painted on the prow, there was only a simple circle. That had to be the target. Two berths aft, four Marines in vac suits were pinned down by plasma and needler fire. The Master Chief turned his optical probe and saw what was pinning them down. 30 Jackals were in the forward portion of the bay, slowly advancing, under cover of their energy shields. The Marines tossed frag grenades. The Jackals scrambled for cover and turned their shields. 3 silent explosions flashed in the vacuum. Not one of the Jackals fell. Another explosion rippled through the deck, behind them. It shook the Master Chief's bones and his armor. The Lotus mine had detonated. They didn't have much time before the Covenant force outside caught up with them. The Master Chief readied his assault rifle. "Take those Jackals out, Blue One. I'll make a break for the circumference." Linda gripped the edge of the pressure door with her left hand, propped her rifle across it, and curled her right hand around the trigger. "There are a lot of them," she said. "This may take a few seconds." A flicker of a contact appeared on the Master Chief's motion tracker, then vanished. He turned and brought his assault rifle to bear. Nothing. "Hang on, Blue One. I'm going to check our 6. Linda's acknowledgement light winked on. The Master Chief eased back down the passage 10 meters. No sensor contact. There was just dim red light and shadows. But one of the shadows moved. It only took an instant for the image to fully register. A black film peeled away from the darkness. It was a meter taller than John and wore blue armor similar to that on Covenant warships. Its helmet was elongated, and it had rows of sharp teeth. It looked like it was smiling at him. The elite warrior leveled a plasma pistol. At this range, there was no way the creature would miss. The plasma weapon would cut through John's slowly recharging shields almost immediately, and if John used his assault rifle, it wouldn't cut through the alien's energy shield. In a simple exchange of fire, the alien would win. Unacceptable. He needed to change the odds. The Master Chief pushed off the wall and launched himself at the creature. He slammed into the elite before it had a chance to fire. They tumbled backward and crashed into the bulkhead. The Master Chief saw the alien shield flicker and fade. He hammered on the edge of the alien's gun. The creature howled soundlessly in the vacuum and dropped the plasma weapon. The elite kicked him in the midsection. His shield took the brunt of the attack, but the blow sent him spinning end over end. He slapped his hand against the ceiling and stalled his spin, then dove under the elite's follow-up attack. The Master Chief tried to grab the alien, but their weakened shields slid and crackled over one another. Too slippery. They bounced down the curved length of the passage. The Master Chief's boot caught on a railing, twisted. A lance of pain shot up his leg, but he halted their combined momentum. The elite pushed away and caught a railing on the opposite side of the passage. Then it turned and sprang back toward the Master Chief. John ignored the pain in his leg. He pushed himself at the alien. They collided. The Master Chief struck with both fists, but the force slid off the elite shields. The elite grabbed him and threw him. They both spun into the wall. The Master Chief was pinned. Perfect. He had something to brace against in the zero gravity. He swung his fist, used every muscle in his body, and connected with the alien's midsection. Its shield shimmered and crackled, but some of the momentum transferred. The alien doubled over and reeled backwards. And its hands found the plasma weapon that it had dropped. The elite recovered quickly and aimed at the Master Chief. The Master Chief jumped, grabbed its wrist. He locked his armor's glove articulation. It became a vice clamp. They wrestled for control, the gun pointed at the alien, then the Master Chief. The alien was as strong as the Master Chief. They spun and bounced off the floor, ceiling, and walls. They were too evenly matched. The Master Chief managed to force a stalemate. The pistol now pointed straight up between their bodies. If it went off, it would hit them both. One shot at point-blank range might collapse their shields. They'd both fry. The Master Chief whipped his forearm and elbow over the creature's wrist and slammed it in the head. For a split second, it was stunned, and its strength ebbed. John turned the gun into its face, squeezed the firing mechanism. The plasma discharge exploded into the creature. Fire sprayed across its shield. They shimmered, flickered, and dimmed. The energy splash washed over the Master Chief. His shields drained to a quarter. The internal suit temperature spiked to critical levels. But the elite's shields were dead. He didn't wait for the plasma gun to recharge. The Master Chief grabbed the creature with his left hand. His right fist struck an uppercut to the head, a hook to the throat and chest, three rapid-fire strikes with his forearm to its helmet that cracked and hissed atmosphere. The Master Chief pushed away and fired the pistol again. The bolt of fire caught the elite in the face. It writhed and clawed at nothing. The elite shuddered, suspended in midair. It twitched and finally stopped moving. The Master Chief shot it again to make sure it was dead. Motion sensors picked up multiple targets approaching down the corridor, 40 meters in closing. The Master Chief turned and double-timed it back to Blue One. Linda was where he left her, shooting her targets with absolute concentration and precision.
"There are more on the way," he told her.
"Reinforcements have already arrived in the bay," she reported. 20 at least. They're learning, overlapping their shields. Can't get a good shot in."
Static crackled over the Master Chief's comm channel.
"Master Chief, this is Captain Keyes. Did you get the nav database?"
The captain sounded out of breath.
"Negative, sir. We're close."
"We're bound in system to retrieve you. ETA is 5 minutes. Destroy the circumference's database and get out ASAP. If you cannot accomplish your mission, I'll have to take out the station with a Pillar of Autumn's weapons. We are running out of time."
"Understood, sir."
The channel snapped off. Captain Keyes was wrong. They weren't running out of time. Time had already run out. Chapter 36. 0616 hours. August 30, 2542, military calendar. UNSC Pillar of Autumn. Epsilon Eridani System, near Reach Station Gamma. The plan started to fall apart almost the instant the Pillar of Autumn launched their Pelican dropships.
"Bring us about to heading 270, Captain Keyes ordered Ensign Lovell.
"Aye, Captain,"
Lovell said.
"Lieutenant Hall, track the dropship's trajectories."
"Pelican 1 on target to dock with Station Gamma," Lieutenant Hall reported. "Pelican 2 initiating descent burn. They are 5x5 to land just outside Fleet HQ." "Captain,"
Cortana interrupted,
"spatial disruption behind us."
The view screen snapped to the aft. Black space bubbled with green points of light. The stars in the distance faded and stretched. A Covenant frigate appeared from nowhere.
"Lieutenant Dominique," Captain Keyes barked, "notify Fleetcom that we have unwanted visitors in the backyard. I respectfully suggest they reorient those orbital guns ASAP. Ensign Lovell, turn this ship around and give me maximum power to the engines. Lieutenant Hikawa, prepare to fire the MAC gun and arm Archer missile pods B-1 through B-7.
The crew jumped to their tasks. The Pillar of Autumn spun about, her engines flared, and she slowly came to a halt. the ship started back toward the new Covenant threat.
Sir,
Cortana said, spatial disruptions increasing exponentially. Two more Covenant frigates appeared, flanking the first ship. As soon as they exited slipstream space, a white-hot line streaked across the blackness. A Supermac gun had targeted them and fired. The Covenant ship only existed for a moment longer. Its shields flashed, and the hull blasted into fragments.
"They've powered down," Captain Keyes said. "No lights, no plasma weapons charging, no lasers. What are they doing?"
"Perhaps," Cortana said. "Their pinpoint jumps require all their energy reserves."
"A weakness?" Captain Keyes mused.
"Not for long," Cortana replied. "Covenant energy levels climbing."
The two remaining Covenant ships powered up. Lights snapped on. Engines glowed, and motes of red light appeared and streamed along their lateral lines.
"Entering optimal firing range," Lieutenant Hekawa announced. "Targeting solutions computed for both ships, Captain."
"Target the port vessel with our MAC gun, Lieutenant Hekawa. Ready Archer missiles for the starboard target. Let's hope we can draw their fire."
Lieutenant Hekawa typed in the commands.
"Ready, sir."
"Fire!"
The Pillar of Autumn's MAC gun fired three times. Thunder roiled up from the ventral decks. Archer missiles snaked through space toward the Covenant frigate on the starboard edge of the enemy formation. The Covenant ships fired, but not at the Pillar of Autumn. Plasma bolts launched toward the two closest orbital guns. The Pillar of Autumn's MAC round struck the Covenant ship once, twice. Their shields flared, glowed, and dimmed. The third round struck clean and penetrated her hull aft, sent the ship spinning counterclockwise. The orbital MAC guns fired again, a streak of silver, and the port Covenant vessel shattered. A split second later, the starboard ship exploded too. But their plasma torpedoes continued toward their targets, splashing across two of the orbital defense platforms. The guns melted and collapsed into boiling molten spheres in the microgravity. 13 guns left, Captain Keyes thought. Not exactly a lucky number.
"Lieutenant Dominique," he said, "request Fleetcom to send all arriving vessels in system to take up defense positions near our guns. The Covenant is willing to sacrifice a ship for one of our orbital guns. Advise them the Covenant ships appear to be dead in space for a few seconds after they execute a pinpoint jump."
"Got it, sir,"
Lieutenant Dominique said.
"Message away."
"Lieutenant Hekawa,"
Captain Keyes said,
"send the destruction codes to those wild missiles we launched."
"Aye, sir."
"Belay that,"
Captain Keyes said. Something didn't feel right.
"Lieutenant Hall, scan the region for anything unusual."
"Scanning, sir,"
she said.
"There are millions of hull fragments. Radar is useless. Thermal is off the charts. Everything is hot out there."
She paused, leaned closer, and a hank of her blonde hair fell into her face, but she didn't brush it aside.
"Reading motion toward Gamma Station, sir."
"Landing pods."
"Lieutenant Hekawa,"
he said,
"repurpose those Archer missiles. New targets. Link with Lieutenant Hall for coordinates."
"Yes, Captain,"
they said in unison.
"Diversion, distraction, and deceit," Captain Keyes said. "The Covenant's tactics are almost getting predictable."
100 pinpoints of fire dotted the distant space as their missiles found Covenant targets.
"Picking up activity just out of the effective range of our orbital guns," Cortana said.
"Show me,"
Captain Keyes said. The titanic Covenant vessel Keyes had seen before was back. It fired its brilliant blue-white beam, a lance across space, that struck the destroyer Herodotus, 100,000 kilometers distance. The beam cut clean through the ship, stem to stern, bisecting her.
"Christ,"
Ensign Lovell whispered.
A salvo of orbital gun rounds fired at this new target, but it was too far away. The ship moved out of the trajectory of the shells. They missed. Another beam flashed from the Covenant vessel. Another ship, a carrier, the Musashi, was severed amidships as it moved to cover the orbital guns. The aft section of the ship continued to thrust forward, her engines still running hot.
"They're going to sniper our ships," Keyes said. "Leave us nothing to fortify reach."
He took out his pipe and tapped it in the palm of his hand.
Ensign Lovell, plot an intercept course. Engines to maximum. We're gonna take that ship out.
Sir? Lovell sat straighter.
Yes, sir. Plotting the course now.
Cortana appeared on the holographic display. I assume you have another brilliant navigational maneuver to evade this enemy, Captain?
I thought I'd fly straight in, Cortana, and let you do the driving.
Straight? You are joking. Logic symbols streamed up her body.
I never joke when it comes to navigation, Captain Keyes said. You will monitor the energy state of that ship. The instant you detect a buildup in the reactors, a spike of particle emissions, anything, you fire our emergency thrusters to throw off their aim.
Cortana nodded.
I'll do my best, she said. Their weapon does travel at light speed. There won't be much time to...
A bang resonated through their portside hull. Captain Keyes flew sideways. Blue-white light flashed on their port view screen.
One shot missed, Cortana replied.
Captain Keyes stood up and straightened his uniform.
Ready, MAC gun, Lieutenant Hakawa. Arm Archer missile pods C-1 through E-7. Give me a firing solution for missile impact on our last MAC round.
Lieutenant Hakawa arched an eyebrow. She had good reason to be dubious. They would be firing more than 500 missiles at a single target.
Solution online, sir. Guns hot and ready.
Distance, Lieutenant Hall?
Closing in an extreme range for MAC guns, sir. In 4, 3...
An explosion to starboard, and the Pillar of Autumn jumped. Keyes was braced this time.
Fire, Lieutenant Hakawa! Send them back where they belong.
Missiles away, sir. Waiting to coordinate MAC rounds.
Blue lightning washed out the view screen. Dull thumps sounded through the Pillar of Autumn like a string of firecrackers going off. The ship listed to port, and it started to roll.
We're hit,
Lieutenant Hull said.
Decompression on deck C, D, and E, sections 2 through 27. Venting atmosphere. Reactors damaged, sir.
She listened to her headset.
Can't get a clear report of what's going on below decks. We're losing power.
Seal those sections, Lieutenant Hakawa. Do we have gun control?
Affirmative.
Then fire at will, Lieutenant.
The Pillar of Autumn shuddered as its MAC gun fired. Pings and groans diffused through her damaged hull. A trio of white-hot projectiles appeared on the view screen, chasing the Archer missiles toward their intended target. The first round struck the Covenant ship. Its shields rippled. The second and third round struck, and more than 500 missiles detonated along her length. Flame dotted the massive vessel, and her shields blazed solid silver. They faded and popped. A dozen missiles impacted her hull and exploded, scarring the bluish armor.
Minimal damage to the target, sir,
Lieutenant Hall reported.
But we downed their shields, Captain Keyes said. We can hurt them. That's all I needed to know. Lieutenant Hakawa, make ready to fire again. Identical targeting solution. Lieutenant Hall, launch our remote-piloted longsword interceptor and arm its Shiva nuclear warhead. Cortana, take control of the single ship.
Cortana tapped her foot.
Longsword away, she said. Where do you want me to park this thing?
Intercept course for the Covenant ship, he told her.
Sir, Lieutenant Hakawa cried. We have an insufficient charge rate to fire the MAC guns.
Understood, Captain Keyes said. Divert all power from the engines to regenerate gun capacitors.
May I point out, Cortana said and crossed her arms, that if you power down the engines, we will be inside the blast radius of the Shiva warhead when it reaches the Covenant ship?
Noted, Captain Keyes said. Do it.
Capacitors at 75%, Lieutenant Hakawa announced. 85. 95. Full charge, sir. Ready to fire.
Fire at will, Captain Keyes ordered.
Missiles away.
A javelin of blue-white energy from the Covenant ship slashed at the Pillar of Autumn. The beam struck and cut through the hull. The Pillar of Autumn slid into a flat spin as the explosive decompression knocked the ship off course. As the Autumn spun, the Covenant energy beam carved a spiral pattern in the hull, shredding armor and puncturing deep into the ship. The ship lurched sickeningly as the beam played across the portside Archer pods. The missiles detonated in their tubes. Keyes was nearly thrown from the command chair as the deck bucked beneath him.
He tightened his safety straps and scowled at the tactical displays.
"Damage report!"
he yelled, his voice competing with the dozens of hazard alarms that blared through the bridge speakers. Cortana brought up a holographic view of the ship and flagged damage areas in pulsing red. "Port launch and storage bays have been breached. Fires on all decks, all sections. Primary fusion chamber is breached."
The Pillar of Autumn tumbled out of control.
"Cortana, get us straight and level. We have to fire our guns."
"Yes, Captain." Her body became a blur of mathematical symbols. "This is an extremely chaotic trajectory," she said. "Atmosphere still venting. Hang on. There, got it."
The Pillar of Autumn righted herself. The Covenant ship centered on the main view screen. This close, Captain Keyes saw how huge the ship was. 3 times the mass of a normal cruiser. There was a pod mounted on the top deck. It swiveled and tracked the Pillar of Autumn, bringing the turret to bear. It glowed electric white as it built up another lethal charge.
"Fire when ready, Lieutenant Hakawa," Captain Keyes ordered.
"Firing." Thunder rumbled below decks. "Macrons away."
The shells struck the Covenant vessel. Archer missiles impacted. Only a handful got through her downed shields.
"Cortana, crash land our longsword on that bastard. Set timer delay on the nuke for 15 seconds.
"Afterburner's on," Cortana replied. "Impact in 3, 2, 1. She's down, sir."
The Pillar of Autumn sped past the Covenant ship.
"Lieutenant Hall, divert any power you can muster to the engines."
"Bringing secondary reactor back online, sir. That gives us 15%.
"Aft camera on center screen," Captain Keyes ordered.
The Covenant ship slowly turned toward the Pillar of Autumn, and its turret tracked their position. For the first time in his life, Keyes prayed that a Covenant ship's shields would hold. The alien ship became a flash of white light, its outline blurred. Their shields held for a split second as the Shiva warhead detonated inside its protective aura. The shockwave rebounded off the asymmetrical shape of the shields just before their collapse. Jets of energy exploded outward at 3 different angles. Thunder and plasma roiled into space, cleanly missing the Pillar of Autumn. The light faded, and the Covenant flagship was gone. Captain Keyes puffed again on his pipe and tapped it out. Maybe now they had a chance to rally what remained of the UNSC fleet and defend Reach.
"Congratulations, Captain," Cortana said. "I couldn't have done better myself."
"Thank you, Cortana. Is there a planet nearby?"
"Beta Gabriel," she said. 14 million kilometers, practically next door."
"Good. Ensign Lovell, plot a course for a slingshot orbit. Reverse our trajectory back in system."
"Sir," Lieutenant Dominique interrupted. "Incoming transmission from Reach. It's the Spartans."
"On speakers, Lieutenant."
Static hissed from the channel. A man's voice broke through.
"Bad. Reactor Complex 7 has been compromised. We're falling back. Might be able to save Number 3. Set off those charges now!"
There was a series of explosions. More white noise. Then the man returned.
"Be advised, Pillar of Autumn. Groundside reactors are being taken. Orbital guns at risk. Nothing we can do. Too many. We'll have to use the nukes."
Static washed away the transmission.
"Captain," Cortana said, "you need to see this, sir."
She overlaid a tactical map of the system on the main view screen. Tiny triangular red markers winked on the edges. Covenant ships, dozens of them, re-entered the system from slipspace.
"Sir," she said, "when the guns around Reach go down..."
"There will be nothing left to stop the Covenant," he finished.
Captain Keyes turned to Lieutenant Dominique.
"Get those Spartans back online," he said. "Tell them to evac ASAP. In a few minutes, it's going to get very nasty around Reach."
He took a deep breath.
"Then raise the Master Chief on a secure channel. Let's hope he has some good news for us."
Chapter 37 0637 Hours, August 30, 2542, Military Calendar. Epsilon Eridani System. Reach Station Gamma.
"Multiple signals on motion tracker,"
the Master Chief said. They're all around us.
The passageway behind the Master Chief and Blue One swarmed with blips. So did Docking Bay 9 ahead of them. The Master Chief saw, however, not all the blips were hostiles. Four Marine friend or foe tags strobed on his heads-up display. Sergeant Johnson, Private O'Brien, Private Bacenti, and Private Jenkins. The Master Chief opened up a comm channel to them.
Listen up, Marines. Your lines of fire are sloppy. Tighten them up. Concentrate on one jackal at a time, or you'll just waste your ammo and their shields.
Master Chief?
Sergeant Johnson said, startled.
Sir! Yes, sir!
Blue One, the Master Chief said. I'm going in. We're going to open up the circumference like a tin can. He nodded toward the Pelican in the adjacent bay. Give me a few grenades over the top.
Understood,
she replied.
You're covered, sir.
She primed two frag grenades, swung around the pressure doors, and threw them behind the jackals. The Master Chief pushed off the wall, propelled himself in the zero-G across the bay. The grenades detonated and caught the jackals on their backsides. Blue blood spattered on the insides of their shields and across the deck. The Master Chief crashed into the Pelican's hull. He pulled himself to the side hatch, opened it, and crawled in. He got into the cockpit, released the docking clamps, and tapped the maneuvering thrusters once to break free. The Pelican lifted off the deck. The Master Chief said over the comm channel,
Marines and Blue One, take cover behind me!
He maneuvered the Pelican into the center of the docking bay. A dozen jackals poured in through the passage that Blue One had just left. The Master Chief fired with the Pelican's autocannon, cut down their shields, and peppered the aliens with hundreds of rounds. They exploded into chunks. Alien blood twisted crazily in zero gravity.
Master Chief, Linda said, I'm picking up thousands of signals on the motion tracker, inbound from all directions. The entire station is crawling.
The Master Chief opened the Pelican's back hatch.
Get in,
he said, and Blue One and the Marines piled inside. The Marines did a double take at Blue One and the Master Chief in their Mjolnir armor. The Master Chief turned the Pelican to face the circumference. He sighted the autocannon on the ship's forward viewports and opened fire. Thousands of rounds streamed from the chain gun and cracked through the thick transparent windows. He followed up with an Anvil II missile. It blasted through the prow and peeled the craft open.
Take the controls, he told Blue One.
He slipped out the side hatch and jumped to the circumference. The inside of the ship's cockpit was scrap metal. He accessed the computer panel in the floor deck and located the nav database core. It was a cube of memory crystal the size of his thumb. Such a tiny thing to cause so much trouble. He shot it three times with his assault rifle. It shattered.
Mission completed, he said.
One small victory in all this mess. The Covenant wouldn't find Earth today. He exited the circumference. Jackals appeared on the level above them in the docking bay. His motion tracker blinked with solid contacts. He jumped back into the Pelican, strapped himself in the pilot's chair, and turned the ship to face the outer doors.
Blue One, signal the Dockmaster AI to open the outer bay doors.
Signal sent, she said.
No response, sir.
She looked around.
There's a manual release by the outer door.
She moved toward the aft hatch.
I'll get this one, sir. It's my turn. Cover me.
Roger, Blue One. Keep your head down. I'll draw their fire.
She launched herself out the back hatch. The Master Chief tapped the Pelican's thrusters and the ship rose higher in the bay, up to the second level. The upper decks were the mechanic bays. The area was littered with ships that were partially disassembled in various stages of repair. It was also where 100 jackals and a handful of elite warriors were waiting for him. They opened fire. Plasma bolts scored the hull of the Pelican. The Master Chief fired the chain gun and let loose a salvo of missiles. Alien shields blazed and failed. Blue and green blood splashed and flash froze in the icy vacuum. He hit the top thrusters and dropped down to the lower level, slammed the ship back into a berth for cover. Blue One crouched by the manual release. The outer doors eased open, revealing the night and stars beyond.
You're clear for exit, Master Chief. We're home free.
A new contact on the Pelican's targeting display appeared, right behind Linda. He had to warn her, A bolt of plasma struck her in the back. Another blot of fire blazed her from the upper decks and splashed across her front. She crumpled. Her shields flickered and went out. Two more bolts hit her chest. A third blast smashed into her helmet.
"No!"
the Master Chief said. He felt each of those plasma bolts as if they had hit him, too. He moved the Pelican to cover her. Plasma struck the hull, melting its outer skin.
"Get her inside!"
he ordered the Marines. They jumped out, grabbed Linda and her smoldering armor, and pulled her inside the Pelican. The Master Chief sealed the hatch, ignited the engines, and pushed them to full thrust, rocketing into space.
"Can you fly this ship?" he asked the Marine Sergeant.
"Yes, sir,"
Johnson replied.
"Take over."
The Master Chief went to Linda and knelt by her side. Sections of her armor had melted and adhered to her. Underneath, in patches, bits of carbonized bone showed. He accessed her vital signs on his heads-up display. They were dangerously low.
"Did you do it?"
she whispered.
Get the database?"
"Yes, we got it."
"Good,"
she said.
"We won."
She clasped his hand and closed her eyes. Her vital signs flatlined. John squeezed her hand and let go. "Yes," he said bitterly. "We won."
"Master Chief, come in!"
Captain Key's voice sounded over the comm channel.
"The Pillar of Autumn will be in rendezvous position in 1 minute."
"We're ready, Captain," he answered. He set Linda's hand over her chest. "I'm ready." The instant the Master Chief docked the Pelican to the Pillar of Autumn, he felt the cruiser accelerate. He took Linda's body, double time, to her cryo-chamber and immediately froze her. She was clinically dead. There was no doubt of that. Still, if they could get her to a fleet hospital, they might be able to resuscitate her. It was a long shot, but she was a Spartan. The medtechs wanted to check him out as well, but he declined and took the elevator to the bridge to report to Captain Keyes. As he rode inside the lift, he felt the ship accelerate port, then starboard. Evasive maneuvers. The elevator doors parted, and the Master Chief stepped onto the bridge. He snapped a crisp salute to Captain Keyes.
"Reporting for debriefing, sir."
Captain Keyes turned and looked surprised to see him. Or maybe he was shocked to see the condition of his armor. It was charred, battered, and covered with alien blood. The captain returned the Master Chief's salute.
"The nav database was destroyed?"
he asked.
"Sir, I would not have left if my mission was incomplete."
"Of course, Master Chief. Very good," Captain Keyes replied.
"Sir, may I ask that you scan for active FOF tags in the region?"
The Master Chief glanced at the main view screen, saw scattered fights between Covenant and UNSC warships in the distance.
"I lost a man on the station. He may be floating out there, somewhere."
"Lieutenant Hall?" the captain asked.
"Scanning," she said. After a moment, she looked back and shook her head.
"I see," the Master Chief replied.
There could be worse deaths, but not for one of his Spartans. Floating helpless, slowly suffocating and freezing. Losing to an enemy that could not be fought.
"Sir,"
the Master Chief said, "when will the Pillar of Autumn rendezvous with my planetside team?" Captain Keyes turned from the Master Chief and stared out into space.
"We won't be picking them up," he said quietly. "They were overrun by Covenant forces. They never made orbit. We've lost contact with them."
The Master Chief took a step closer.
"Then I would like permission to take a dropship and retrieve them, sir."
"Request denied, Master Chief. We still have a mission to perform, and we cannot remain in this system much longer. Lieutenant Dominique, aft camera on the main screen."
Covenant vessels swarmed through the Reach system in 5-ship crescent formations. The remaining UNSC ships fled before them, those that could still move. Those ships too damaged to outrun the Covenant were blasted with plasma and laser fire. The Covenant had won this battle. They were mopping up before they glassed the planet. The Master Chief had seen this happen in a dozen campaigns. This time was different, however. This time the Covenant was glassing a planet with his people still on it. He tried to think of a way to stop them, to save his teammates. He couldn't. The captain turned and strode to the Master Chief, stood by his side.
"Dr. Halsey's mission," he said, "is more important than ever now. It may be the only chance left for Earth. We have to focus on that goal."
36 Covenant craft moved toward Gamma Station and the now inert orbital defense platforms. They bombarded the installations, the mightiest weapons in the UNSC arsenal, with plasma. The guns melted and boiled away. The Master Chief clenched his hands into fists. The captain was correct. There was nothing to do now except complete the mission they had set out to do.
Captain Keyes barked, "Ensign Lovell, give me our best acceleration. I want to enter slipstream space as soon as possible."
Cortana said, "Excuse me, Captain. 6 Covenant frigates are inbound on an intercept course."
"Continue evasive maneuvers, Cortana. Prepare the slipspace generators and give me an approximate randomized exit vector."
"Aye, sir."
Navigation symbols flashed along the length of her holographic body. The Master Chief continued to watch as the Covenant ships closed in on them. Was he the only Spartan left? Better to die than live without his teammates. But he still had a mission. Victory against the Covenant, and vengeance for his fallen comrades.
"Generating randomized exit vector per the code protocol," Cortana said.
The Master Chief glanced at her translucent body. She looked vaguely like a younger Dr. Halsey. Tiny dots, ones, and zeros slid over her torso, arms, and legs. Her thoughts were literally worn on her sleeve. The symbols also appeared on Ensign Lovell's nav station. He cocked his head as the symbols and numbers scrolled across the nav console. The representations of slipspace vectors and velocity curves twisted across the screen, tantalizingly familiar. He'd seen them somewhere before, but he could not make the connection.
"Something on your mind, Master Chief?" Cortana asked.
"Those symbols. I thought I'd seen them somewhere before. It's nothing."
Cortana got a far-off look in her eyes. The marks cycling on her hologram shifted and rearranged. The Master Chief saw the Covenant fleet gathered around Planet Reach. They swarmed and circled like sharks. The first of their plasma bombardments launched toward the surface. Clouds in the fire's path boiled away.
"Jump to slipspace, Ensign Lovell," the captain said. "Get us the hell out of here."
John remembered Chief Mendez's words, that they had to live and fight another day. He was alive, and there was still plenty of fight left in him. And he would win this war, no matter what it took. Section 6. Halo. Epilogue. 0647 hours. August 30, 2542, military calendar. UNSC Pillar of Autumn. Epsilon Eridani Systems Edge. Cortana fired the Pillar of Autumn's autocannons, targeting a dozen Seraph fighters, harassing them as they were accelerated out of the system. 7 Covenant frigates were now locked into the pursuit. She dodged a volley of pulse laser fire, using the ventral emergency thrusters. She pushed the damaged secondary reactor to critical levels. They had to build up more speed before activating the Shaw Fukuzawa translight generators, or the jump to slipstream space would fail. She rechecked her calculations. Under the Cole protocol, they would be jumping away from Earth, but it would not be a totally random heading. The Master Chief had been right when he said that he recognized the shorthand navigation symbols on the nav display. Cortana accessed the Spartan's mission logs. She sifted through the data and filed it into a secondary long-term storage buffer. When she reviewed the database of his mission reports, Cortana learned that Spartan 117 had seen something similar on the Covenant vessel he had boarded in 2525. And again, the symbols almost looked like those on the rock he had extracted from Covenant forces on Sigma Octanus IV. ONI reports on the symbols found in the anomalous rock had defied cryptoanalysis. Key's order to plot a navigation route sparked a connection between the data. She accessed the alien symbols, and rather than compare them with alphabets or hieroglyphics, compared them to star formations. There were some startling similarities, along with a number of differences. Cortana reanalyzed the symbols and accounted for thousands of years of stellar drift. A tenth of a second later, she had a close match on her charts, 86.2%. Interesting. Perhaps the markings in the rock recovered on Sigma Octanus IV were navigation symbols, albeit highly unusual and stylized ones, mathematical symbols as artistic and elegant as Chinese calligraphy. What was there that the Covenant wanted so badly that they had launched a full offensive against Sigma Octanus IV? Whatever it was, Cortana was interested too. She compared the new nav coordinates with her directives and was pleased with what she saw. The new course complied with the Cole Protocol. Good. The Covenant frigates fired their plasma again. Seven bolts of fire streaked toward the Pillar of Autumn. She dumped the coordinates to the nav controls and stored the logic path that led to her deduction in her high security buffer. Approaching saturation velocity, she told Captain Keyes. Powering Shaw-Fukuzawa translight generators. New course available. The Covenant frigates aligned with their outbound vector. They were going to try to follow the Pillar of Autumn through slipspace. Damn. The Shaw-Fukuzawa translight generators tore a hole in normal space. Light boiled around the Pillar of Autumn, and she vanished. Cortana had plenty of time to think on the journey. Most of the crew were frozen in cryo for the trip. Some of the engineers had elected to try to repair the main reactor. A futile gesture, but she lent them a few cycles to try to rebuild the convection inductor. Had Dr. Halsey been on Reach when it fell to the Covenant? Cortana felt a pang of regret for her creator. Maybe she had gotten away. The probability was low, but the doctor was a survivor. Cortana ran a self-diagnostic. Her alpha-level commands were intact. She had not jeopardized her primary mission by following this vector. There were, unfortunately, sure to be Covenant ships when they arrived, wherever they arrived. The Covenant had followed them into slipstream space, and they had always been faster and more accurate than UNSC navigators in the elusive dimension. Captain Keyes and the Master Chief would get their chance to disable and capture one of those vessels. Their luck had so far defied all probability and statistical variations. She hoped their defiance of the odds continued.
"Captain Keyes, wake up, sir," Cortana said. "We will enter normal space in 3 hours."
Captain Keyes sat up in the cryotube. He licked his lips and gagged.
"I hate that stuff."
"The inhalant surfactant is highly nutritious, sir. Please regurgitate and swallow the protein complex."
Captain Keyes swung his legs out of the tube. He coughed and spat the mucus onto the deck.
"You wouldn't say that, Cortana, if you ever tasted this stuff. Ship status?"
"Reactor 2 has been fully repaired," she replied. "Reactors 1 and 3 are inoperable. That gives us 20% power. Archer missile pods I and J rows serviceable. Autocannon ammunition at 10%. Our two remaining Shiva warheads are intact."
She paused and double-checked the MAC gun.
"Magnetic accelerator gun's capacitors depolarized. We cannot fire the system, sir."
"More good news," he grumbled. "Continue."
"Hull breaches patched, but the majority of decks 11, 12, and 13 are destroyed. That includes the Spartan's weapons locker."
"Are there any infantry weapons left?" Keyes asked. "We may need to repel boarders."
"Yes, Captain. A substantial number of standard marine infantry weapons survived the engagement. Would you like an inventory?"
"Later. What about the crew?"
"All crew accounted for. Spartan 117 is in cryosleep with the marine and security personnel. Waking bridge officers and all essential personnel."
"And the Covenant?"
"We'll know in a moment if they were able to track us, sir."
Very well. I'll be on the bridge in 10 minutes.
He eased out of the tube.
I'm getting too damn old to be frozen and shot through space at light speed, he muttered.
Cortana checked the status of the waking crew. There was a minor flutter in Lieutenant Dominique's heart, which she corrected. Otherwise, status normal. The captain and crew assembled on the bridge. They waited. 5 minutes until normal space, sir, Cortana announced. She knew they could see the countdown timer, but Cortana noticed that the crew responded well to her calm voice in stressful situations. Their reaction times generally improved by as much as 15%, give or take. Sometimes human imperfection made calculations maddeningly imprecise. She ran another check on all intact systems. The Pillar of Autumn had taken a tremendous beating at reach. It was a wonder it was still in one piece. Entering normal space in 30 seconds, she informed Captain Keyes.
Shut down all systems, Cortana. I want us to be dark when we hit normal space. If the Covenant did follow us, maybe we can hide.
Aye, sir. Running dark. The view screen filled with green light. Smears of stars came into focus. A purple-hued gas giant filled a third of the screen. Captain Keyes said,
Fire thrusters to position us in orbit around the planet, Ensign Lovell.
Aye, sir, he replied.
The Pillar of Autumn glided around the gravity well of the moon. Cortana detected a radar echo ahead, an object hidden in the shadow. As the ship rounded the dark side of the gas giant, the object came into full view. It was a ring-shaped structure. Gigantic.
Cortana, Captain Keyes whispered. What is that?
Cortana noted a sudden spike in the pulse and respiration among the bridge crew, particularly the captain. The object spun serenely in the heavens. The outer surface was gray metal, reflecting the brilliant starlight. From this distance, the surface of the object seemed to be engraved with deep, ornate geometric patterns.
Could this be some kind of naturally occurring phenomenon? Dominique asked.
Unknown, Cortana replied. She activated the ship's long-range detection gear. Cortana's holo image frowned. The Pillar of Autumn's scanning systems were fine for combat. But for this kind of analysis, it was like using stone tools. She diverted processing power away from ancillary systems and channeled it to the task. Figures scrolled across the sensor displays. The ring is 10,000 kilometers in diameter, Cortana announced, and 22.3 kilometers thick. Spectroscopic analysis is inconclusive, but patterns do not match any known Covenant material, sir. She paused and aimed a long-range camera array at the ring. A moment later, a close-up of the object snapped into focus. Keyes let out a low whistle. The inner surface was a mosaic of greens, blues, and browns. Trackless desert, jungles, glaciers, and vast oceans. Streaks of white clouds cast deep shadows upon the terrain. The ring rotated and brought a new feature into view. A tremendous hurricane forming over an unimaginably wide body of water. Equations scrolled furiously across Cortana as she studied the ring. She checked and rechecked her numbers, the rotational speed of the object, and its estimated mass. They didn't quite add up. She ran through a series of passive and active scans and found something. Captain, Cortana said, the object is clearly artificial. There's a gravity field that controls the ring's spin and keeps the atmosphere inside. At this range, and with this gear, I can't say with 100% certainty, but it appears that the ring has an oxygen-nitrogen atmosphere, an Earth-normal gravity.
If it's artificial, who the hell built it? And what in God's name is it?
Cortana processed that question for a full 3 seconds, then finally answered, I don't know, sir. Captain Keyes took out his pipe, lit it, and puffed once. He examined the curls of smoke thoughtfully.
Then we'd better find out.
back ad to come.
Halo, The Fall of Reach, was written by Eric Nyland and read by Todd McLaren. Kamchatka, music from Halo 5 Guardians, was composed by Kazuma Jinouchi. Terry Hogan was the mix engineer. The associate producer was Michael Noble. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. Halo, The Fall of Reach, is available as an ebook from Gallery Books. Also from Simon & Schuster Audio, Halo, Bad Blood, written by Matt Forbeck and read by Scott Brick, and Halo, Silent Storm, written by Troy Denning and read by Scott Brick.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.